So the confused mind comes to unlearn its troubling thought through inquiry. It comes not only to see that the thought isn't true, but also to understand the specific effects of believing it, the price in anger or sorrow or resentment that it pays when it believes the thought, and the freedom that would be available without it. And it sees also that the thought's opposites could be at least as true. Eventually, it realizes that reality is all mind, and that the world changes as its perception changes. To meet the Master with a fearless, open mind is to lose the entire world as you understood it to be. It is to unlearn a cruel world, a world of ravagement, a world in which the heart's desire is never attained. When people think that they know the answers, it's difficult for the Master to help them find their way, because she is dealing with closed minds, and a closed mind is a closed heart. Since she understands that openness can never be forced, she becomes very comfortable and listens. She waits for an opening, the slightest crack, and that is when she penetrates. That is the moment of meeting, of indisputable connection. The other person can close the door, but it's too late. The Master has already entered. And in that instant of entering, everything has changed. Enough clarity gets in to be recognized, and the mind can never be the same again, because like has met like. The two have become one. Once the Master moves in through that even slightly open door, the student's mind continues to expand, and the natural way to himself appears. It may seem as if he can revert to his former world, but that's not possible. When the mind has seen that it doesn't know what it was so sure of, it begins to unravel. The knots relax and begin to untie themselves. This leaves no job for the Master. It leaves her as no one again.
All streams flow to the sea because it is lower than they are. Humility gives it its power.
The material world is a metaphor of mind. Mind rises into its projections and must eventually come back to itself, just as streams flow back to the sea. No matter how brilliant the mind, no matter how large the ego that takes credit for its actions, when it comes to see that it doesn't know anything, that it can't know anything, it flows back to the origin and meets itself again in all humility. Once you realize what is true, everything flows to you, because you have become the living example of humility. The mind realized is content to stay in the lowest, least creative position. Out of that, everything is created. The lowest place is the highest place. Less than a week after my return from the halfway house, word spread about my change, and strangers began calling me on the phone, asking me questions, or asking if they could come see me. They would call me at all hours in the middle of the night, all day long, often all night long. People from 12-step programs, people from the street, people from long distances away, people who had been told about me by the friend of a friend. What I heard in their questions was a longing. They would ask, "How can I find your freedom?" And I'd say, "I don't know. But if you want to see what it is, come live with me. All I know is that you're welcome to what I have." There was a continuous stream of people coming to the house. One person would come, the phone would ring, then two more would show up, 5, 6, maybe a dozen by the evening. They had heard that I was a saint, a master, a Buddha. They would say I had something called enlightenment. I had no idea what that meant. It sounded like having the flu. When they looked at me with wonder in their eyes, I felt they were seeing me as some kind of freak, and that was okay with me. I knew I was free, but I was still being bombarded by all the delusions that humanity has ever suffered from. It didn't feel enlightened to me. For about a year, I had to write down the beliefs that kept arising in my mind. I had to write them down and inquire in order to hold reality firmly. They came very fast, hundreds, thousands of them. Each belief felt like a meteor crashing into a planet trying to demolish it. Someone would say, or I would hear in my mind, "It's a terrible day," and my body would start to shake. It was as if I couldn't bear the lie. It didn't matter whether I or someone